We are back, having just completed the observation of the presidential debate between Kamala Harris and the former president. Now, Mr. Mullen and I observed that, to our minds, Kamala Harris crushed Donald Trump. But of course, one knows that the pundits and the operatives on, you know, whichever side are going to do their best to spin things favorably for their candidate. And of course, within minutes, the TV news on NBC had trotted out Marco Rubio to blame the bad moderators for why things were not going well. And I do want to say that I've seen many presidential debates, and I think that this one had the best moderation of any I've ever seen. Donald Trump was not allowed to get away with some of his nonsense. We'll talk about that in a moment. But as always, it's not what you saw. It's not what you observed. It's what others tell you you observed. At least I think that's true for almost everybody out in the general public. It was certainly true in the Biden versus Trump debate, where if you watch the whole thing and watch Trump spew lie after lie after lie, you would have to think that he did not do worse than Joe Biden, who admittedly looked a little, well, I guess old and weak would summarize it. Nevertheless, if you tallied up how the two men did, as we did on this program, you would have to conclude that Biden did not, in fact, do worse. Although, he didn't do well, which is why he's no longer the candidate. In that, we would have to refer to Joe Biden as an American Cincinnatus, who in Roman times was a man out plowing his field and taking care of business when he was asked to head the Roman legions and fight a war, which he did, and won, after which he went back to the farm. The term has been used previously in America for George Washington. It was called an American Cincinnatus. But we think the honorific should be extended to President Biden. The big question in our mind was, is Kamala Harris going to charge out and do what she needs to do to show the world who Donald Trump really is? And I must say, on a 1 to 10, Mr. Millen and I are giving her about an 8.5 on that. She did a good job. She could have done even better, but she did a good job. Now, on this show in recent weeks, we've been borrowing from Midas Touch Network, Dave Pakman, Brian Tyler Cohn, who, unlike most of the mainstream media, had been on Trump and showing what he says and analyzing it. Now, we suspect that Trump's handlers watch these shows as well and realize you're not looking good on some points here. We should modify it. But as everybody who deals with Donald Trump realizes, he's not really very modifiable. Thus, if you watch the debate, you saw him reiterating all the same wacky positions he's been saying in the last few weeks to months. Now, the crazy things he's been saying, some of which go back to the debate with Biden, such as in some states of the union, they just let babies die. Yeah, after the baby's born, they just, you know, kill them. They did do some fact-checking in this debate and corrected the former president on this delusion. The moderators did so, and Harris did so. One thing they did not turn up in the last debate with Joe Biden, which I think might be the comedy award winner for this particular debate, was the claim made by Donald Trump, and I hadn't heard this one before this evening, that Haitian immigrants coming to the country were eating dogs in Ohio, which prompted the NBC moderators to report back from the authorities in Ohio that no, they had no such reports of anything like that happening. And in other debate comedy, we just checked out Donald Trump talking to reporters after the debate, which he described as, you know, the best debate ever. He did great, he said. But apparently is not committing to a second one. And after watching this one, we would ask, why would he? Harris's strategy, plainly, was to be the aggressor, to stick to facts as she saw them, and just do her best to get his goat. She did a pretty good job. I must say, we thought she looked rather presidential, whereas her opponent looked rather baboonish. I do wish, looking back on it, that she had hit harder on the COVID issue. Trump tries to claim that he did a great job with COVID, and what he really did was murder hundreds of thousands of Americans through really bad advice and really bad policies, something we've talked about on the show before, and might be a good opportunity to refer you back to TrumpPandemic.net to take a look at the timeline of what Donald J. Trump did 4 years ago. We spoke about this 2 weeks ago with Stephen Harper. And if you didn't hear that, you may want to tune into that show as well. The abortion issue was a huge loser for Trump, and he lost pretty big. His ridiculous lies about everybody who's anybody wanting to see the abortion issue go back to the states is just ridiculous. It's just absolutely false. Of course, it might be better, Ms. Merlin, if we tried to compose a list of things Donald Trump said that were true, because it would be much shorter.
Did you hear anything like that?
I think perhaps the closest thing we can get to something that Trump said that might be called true is the fact that if he starts deporting millions of people, it may turn into a bit of a bloodbath. Which, it's hard to imagine that a candidate would acknowledge a thing like that, or that he would praise Viktor Orban, the dictator of Hungary. But hey, that's the Donald. Points to Harris for just showing the nation that what Donald Trump does is name call and belittle. And when that previous statement he made about her not being black and all of a sudden discovering he was black, well, that was a pretty black moment for DJT. Anyway, we just saw the debate. We have to see how it is reported in the press, because that is critical. We don't see how the mainstream media can continue to give Donald Trump a pass on his wacky statements and behavior, but we shall see in the next few days. I mean, we're not sure how it is the press can look at a guy that says things like, crime is down all over the world because the criminals are here in America. Yes, they've illegally come here to America, and that's why we have crime, and everybody else is doing pretty well. I mean, they have to notice how crazy that is. That was so wacky, the moderators had to step in and point out that, well, that's not really supported by statistics. Crime is, in fact, down in the U.S. Now, one thing they always do in debates is argue about who is better for the economy. And if the sad truth be told, the man in the Oval Office usually has little to do with how the U.S. economy is doing, although he always takes the blame or credit. That just seems to come with the territory. Now, a subject they didn't get into very deeply was the matter of tariffs, and we have some clips which we gathered the last few days on that very topic that are worth hearing. So we're going to play those for the remainder of the show. Now, I must add before we do this that we took a look at what governmental policies are as regards custom duties and tariffs, and it turns out it's a little more subtle and complex, perhaps, than the explanations in what you're about to hear, but we think they're close enough to being on the money to run with them, so we're going to do that. Let's start with Lawrence O'Donnell at MSNBC, who, you know, has been the best player in all of the major networks, news networks, in how they're covering events in this campaign. Mr. McMillan?
The elements of the news media that have been accused of sane washing Donald Trump know that they are guilty of exactly that. And now some of them, like the New York Times, they really, really are trying to do something about it. But this is their first try. So it's not perfect. The New York Times' first try was published tonight under the headline, "As debate looms, Trump is now the one facing questions about age and capacity," with a subheadline reading, "His rambling, sometimes incoherent public statements have stirred concern among voters." The Times article does not use the term sane washing, which describes the way some in the news media edit Donald Trump's crazy statements down to a shape that allows them to then try to make sense of them. But the article does offer the New York Times' own confession about doing exactly that. Here is the New York Times' confession in writing tonight in this article. "Often his mangled statements are summarized in news accounts in ways that do not give the full picture of how baffling they can be." The New York Times has done that every single day. The New York Times has been covering Donald Trump, the politician, including in this article tonight. They couldn't get through the whole article without doing it. In this article, the New York Times is trying to cure itself of its habit of sane washing Donald Trump. And in the very next passage after the one that I just read, the New York Times tries to sane wash what Donald Trump said last week to these stupid rich people at the New York Economic Club who clapped enthusiastically for Donald Trump's incoherent response to a question about child care, a response that was not an answer. It was a widely criticized, incoherent jumble that did not answer the question about child care in any way. And in the article tonight, the New York Times thought they could cure their sane washing habit by quoting a larger portion of what Donald Trump said about child care instead of the short, sane washed bits that they used in the coverage of that event last week. Here is the New York Times' attempt at a cure for its own habit of sane washing, in which, in the end, it sane washes Donald Trump again. Tonight's article says that because quoting Donald Trump at length, quote, can provide additional context, here is a more extended account of his reply on affordable child care. It's a very important issue, but I think when you talk about the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, that because child care is child care, it's couldn't, you know, there's something, you have to have it. In this country, you have to have it. But when you talk about those numbers compared to the kind of numbers that I'm talking about, by taxing foreign nations at levels that they're not used to, but they'll get used to it very quickly, and it's not going to stop them from doing business with us, but they'll have a very substantial tax when they send product into our country. Those numbers are so much bigger than any numbers that we're talking about, including child care, that it's going to take care. And after running that extended, incoherent response by Donald Trump, the New York Times then, in the very next paragraph, sane washed it with this interpretation. What he seemed to be saying was that he would raise so much money by imposing tariffs on imported goods that the country could use the proceeds to pay for child care. In itself, that would be a disputable policy assumption. A disputable policy assumption? That is the single most disturbing thing I have read in the New York Times about the New York Times. Let me just read the New York Times sane washing once again. What he seemed to be saying was that he would raise so much money by imposing tariffs on imported goods that the country could use the proceeds to pay for child care. In itself, that would be a disputable policy assumption. There was a time not long ago when everyone at the New York Times, and I mean everyone, including the printers and the delivery truck drivers, knew what a tariff is. Now it appears no one at the New York Times knows what a tariff is, including their top reporters covering the presidential campaign. This New York Times article allows Donald Trump to say that his tariffs would be taxing foreign nations. The New York Times allows that to stand as a fact in its campaign reporting. And that means that the New York Times campaign coverage and the New York Times economic coverage is hopelessly lost in this campaign. How slowly do I have to say it for the New York Times campaign reporters to understand it for the very first time? I've said it many times before. I understand the New York Times campaign reporters are too busy to be watching this program. I don't expect them to learn any of this from me. I expected them to learn this by the end of the first year of high school. A tariff is imposed by the United States of America and paid for by the people of the United States of America and no one else ever. The entire point of a tariff is to raise the price of the foreign product to the American consumer so that the American consumer does not want to buy it anymore because it's too expensive. All economists understand that American tariffs function as sales taxes paid by American consumers. Economists consider tariffs sales taxes. Yes, tariffs raise money. Yes, tariffs were the only way the federal government raised money before the imposition of income taxes. And the only way the American government can raise money is from the American people. The American government cannot tax anyone other than the American people. And the night before the debate, the New York Times is telling its readers that Donald Trump's tariffs are taxing foreign nations. Yes, Donald Trump tells a lot of lies. Yes, it's impossible to keep up with every one of those lies. But the tariff lie? The New York Times, in an article designed to take on Donald Trump's lies and incoherent ranting, prints Donald Trump's tariff lie and lets it stand. Its only question about it is whether the tariffs would raise enough money to pay for child care. Sane washing Donald Trump's insane response about child care last week, the New York Times tries to tell you that Donald Trump seems to be saying that his tariffs would raise so much money that that money then could be used to pay for child care, but then maybe Donald Trump wouldn't use it for that. Donald Trump did not say one word about paying for child care or using tariff revenue to pay for child care. There's not a single thing in Donald Trump's response that any sane person can convert to Donald Trump suggesting that the federal government should in any way do anything to pay for anyone's child care. And the New York Times hallucinated that explanation into existence. And after hallucinating that explanation of Donald Trump's madness into print, the New York Times then says it's a disputable policy assumption. No, it's not. It's completely impossible. What this article does do is prove to you how deep the actual intellectual rot is at the New York Times, at the reporting, and at the editorial level, going all the way up to the top. This is a big and important article for the New York Times tonight. It had to be examined by multiple editors to make its way into print. And every one of them was completely cool with Donald Trump's insanity about tariffs. The New York Times was perfectly happy to put in print that Donald Trump's tariffs are, quote, taxing foreign nations. That lie, the New York Times lets stand unchallenged.
We're going to be a tariff nation. It's not going to be a cost to you. It's going to be a cost to another country. I heard Kamala the other day, Comrade Kamala. She said, oh, if you do that, he's raising your taxes. No. I'm not raising your taxes. I'm raising China and all of these countries in Asia and all over the world, including the European Union, by the way, which is one of the most egregious.
That's just a lie. And he knows it's a lie. And everybody that is a host on other networks that will lie about his lies, they know it's a lie.
That's the part
that
I don't
tariffs get. Are taxes on middle-class Americans, on working-class Americans especially. They feel the disproportionate impact, but it impacts all Americans. The Wall Street Journal editorial page, it's called Donald Trump's Tariffs, the Largest Taxes in the 2024 campaign.
And weighing in on the same issue was Ben Micellus from the Midas Touch YouTube network.
Is Donald Trump doing? He's sending emails to his supporters saying that all hell is about to break loose. Yes, that's the message that the Trump campaign is pushing out there, and corporate media wants to sane wash this. Just look, email after email over the past 24 hours, like every hour, a new email. And here's the one that he sent yesterday afternoon, 24 hours until all hell breaks loose. And then it says, Ben, tomorrow night, Comrade Kamala crawls out of hiding to make her first live unscripted comments since being installed as the nominee. And when she unveils her real sick plan for America at the debate, all hell will break loose. She already raised $500 million from liberal elites who hate our country. My debate is just 24 hours away, and we need a massive show of support. Kamala's handlers and their accomplices in the lying liberal media are going to claim victory no matter how badly I beat her. They always do. Doesn't sound like someone who's too confident. Also, this language that is being used, all hell is going to break loose. Her liberal elite handlers hate our country. Billions of dollars raised from liberal elites. No. The money's been raised primarily from small dollar donations, unlike you, Donald, who raises his money actually from billionaires who want to turn the United States of America into an oligarchy. But you won't even hear about this report, I think, other places other than the Midas Touch Network, the types of emails that he's sending. And this is the kind of message that they're putting out here. Like here, Donald Trump, at the speech that he gave over the weekend, he's saying that, even when he wins, they're going to say Trump was humiliated. This is how he's trying to brainwash his supporters when he loses the debate this evening. Play this clip.
You know, if I destroy her in the debate, they'll say Trump suffered a humiliating defeat tonight, no matter what.
Here's the next post or the next email from Trump. Alert from Trump. Ben, please. And it goes, please, I'm announcing the release of an official Trump debate hat. To be quite honest, I was waiting to show you this brand new MAGA hat for the day the regime sentenced me. Again, just think about they're running a campaign off of his criminality and wearing hats when he's sentenced and saying all hell is going to break loose. Again, this is just, in my opinion, not normal. Here's another email. Please, Ben, not to be confused with the prior email, Ben, please. This says, please, Ben, please tell me you'll answer the first question before my debate with Kamala. I need to know right now. A historic response will mean the end of Comrade Kamala's reign of terror will end. Ben and I will make America great again. Again, using the language reign of terror. Here's another Trump proxy right here, Charlie Kirk. He goes, one of Trump's top operatives right here, says Trump needs to be ready for a Kamala bombshell at the debate tomorrow. Is she going to say she had an abortion, that she was raped, maybe a family member? And listen in the own words of the people who worked closest with Donald Trump, his generals, his former vice president, his former secretary of defense. Here's the new ad by Vice President Kamala Harris. It's going mega viral as well. Play this clip.
In 2016, Donald Trump said he would choose only the best people to work in his White House. Now those people have a warning for America. Trump is not fit to be president again. Here's his vice president.
Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. It should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year.
His defense secretary.
Do you think Trump can be trusted with the nation's secrets ever again?
No. I mean, it's just irresponsible action that places our service members at risk, places our nation's security at risk.
His national security advisor.
Donald Trump will cause a lot of damage. The only thing he cares about is Donald Trump.
And the nation's highest ranking military officer.
We don't take an oath to a king or a queen or to a tyrant or a dictator. And we don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator.
Take it from the people who knew him best. Donald Trump is a danger to our troops and our democracy. We can't let him lead our country again.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
And you can see why those closest with Trump in the past are not supporting him anymore, the threat that he poses. And what type of threats does he pose? It's obvious. We covered here at the Midas Touch Network. But look, in the past 48 hours, he said that his Project 2025 to have a mass deportation operation on day one is going to be a very bloody story in America, he says. Play this clip.
And, you know, getting them out will be a bloody story. Should have never been allowed to come into our country. Nobody checked them. Nobody.
Here, Donald Trump announces that he's going to be pardoning the January 6th insurrectionists who assaulted police officers on day one. Play this clip.
The moment we win, we will rapidly review the cases of every political prisoner unjustly victimized by the Harris regime, and I will sign their pardons on day one. I will sign it on day one.
And here Donald Trump says that he intends to turn the United States of America into, quote, a tariff nation, he says, where he will tariff nations 100%, and Americans aren't going to pay anything for it. The other nations are going to pay a tariff tax. Donald Trump does not know what a tariff is. A tariff is a tax at the point of sale in the United States of America. The consumer is going to have to pay the price when the company, whether it's a Walmart or whoever, is going to be the one that has to face a tax to try to block the foreign exports from coming into the United States. Also, it will result in retaliation for United States exports to the foreign countries, and it will result in inflation, and it will result in significant additions to our deficit, and it will cause substantial hits to our GDP. I want to read for you some other major polls that have just come out. North Carolina up in the Survey USA, Vice President Kamala Harris up in North Carolina by 3, and the latest Survey USA poll also. In the latest Morning Consult poll of Florida, Donald Trump is only leading by 2 against Vice President Kamala Harris there. Pretty impressive stuff right there. Meanwhile, in the MAGA world, here they are selling Trump. This is what Trump and the MAGA world are selling. Trump bobblehead from Assassination Edition, bobbleheads. The same way they're selling Trump Assassination Edition sneakers. And here's what Trump keep fighting bobblehead is what they are selling. You can't make this stuff up. Nothing is normal.
That about does it for today's program. Our thanks to Pete Spaulding and Bill Broughton, who are both working to preserve the American River Parkway, a subject we will have more to say about in the future. And I guess by next week's program, we're going to see how the mainstream media is reporting on this debate. We don't see how they cannot report on this event as a crushing blow in favor of Kamala Harris. But you know what? You just don't know. We'll have to see what they say. Anyway, this program was produced by Edward McMillan. I'm Douglas Everett. This is Radio Parallax, and you'll be hearing from us, we think, every week up to the election and maybe beyond.